Today's program is brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good morning. Welcome to the main course on heritageradionetwork.org. I'm Alexis McLaughlin, sitting in for Patrick Martins. Sitting next to Patrick Martins.
Sitting in. This is a four-year sit-in, I'm hoping.
It's a Occupy. Permit sit-in.
Occupy Heritage.
The longest sit-in of all time. It's called the live-in, I think.
Yeah. I live in the studio now, you know.
Good.
Rent is exorbitant.
Not much privacy, I hear, with this big Roberta's window right here.
I like it. A little bit of an exhibitionist myself. Can respect the voyeurism.
You meet the nicest of people here, Patrick.
We've got a full house. Patrick Martins, of course, here with Mike Edison. They co-wrote the Carnivore's Manifesto together. Also very excited to have Julia Jaksik, who is the executive chef for Employees Only. Just celebrated your 10-year anniversary, so that's...
10 years.
Do you live there also?
I do. I do. It feels like it, yeah. Luckily, we have a shower there, so it's really convenient.
It's oh, wow. New Jaksik nice. City.
Yeah.
It's all hers.
It's all mine.
Employees Only is a really interesting place. It's in the West Village. It's a cocktail bar, but you guys have a full menu, full kitchen program.
Yeah, cocktail bar and full restaurant, which is a little bit of a rarity. Usually cocktail bars have bites, but we have a little, I like to call it a refuge in the back. So once you make your way through the bar, there's a really nice dining room.
After you've drunk enough and you decided you need a full meal.
Right.
Did they set out to, was that the idea when developing Employees Only? Were you involved in the beginning for planning the restaurant?
Yeah. The five owners, all veterans of the New York restaurant scene, they wanted to, you know, as most restaurateurs when they start, you know, have a place they wanted, and part of what they wanted was a place to have full dinner, you know, so not only drinking but full dinner. And the name Employees Only was, which when I first started, I, you know, with them, kind of went over my head a little bit, not gonna lie. It's like Employees Only, but yeah, just that it would be this industry place, you know, that we would stay open every day until 4 a.m and we would do full dinner until 4 a.m so when people got off of work.
It really is an industry bar.
Right.
I mean, it's one of those places where chefs go when they're done, or anyone in
servers,
the industry.
Yeah.
There's also a bouncer outside, which is unusual for a restaurant. I mean, can restaurants do that, or is it because it's a cocktail bar? But I know every time I try to walk in, some guy's like, who are you with?
Yeah.
I'm like, I know Julia.
You get that even when you come to the radio
station. Right. There's no security guards.
I don't know how it happened. The last time I was at Employees Only, with you, Patrick, and the Heritage team, and you came out.
Yeah.
And somehow the bouncer or someone at the front door thought I worked there, and they kind of handed off the door to me, because, like, you know, you have to ID and it's not exclusive, but, like, you know, you gotta have reason to be there.
Well,
and the guy was just like, oh, you, you're just okay. Come on in. I'm like, I
you're
will sneak in.
For that, I mean, it's a hard one, because really for us it comes to a capacity issue.
Yeah.
And if you don't have somebody kind of policing it out there, it would just get insane. So that's the reason. And I feel like sometimes people come in and you know, they're like have this Miami red carpet, like, you know what I mean?
It's
like,
not that
red velvet rope, like, can I get in? And I mean, of course anyone can get in, but I mean, you know, when we're at capacity, we're at capacity, you know. So
you're at capacity for men
whenever you show up.
We need more women. Right, we need more women. I always hear we have too many men there every time I show up.
That's like the old-fashioned door policy of the 1980s, like show up at danceteria, you know, to get the stanchion lowered, you know, unless you had the look or with the right girl. No way it was happening.
Yeah. And then one thing that's really cool and still maintained is you have a fortune teller at the door, in the little doorway right behind the bouncer. And I love that that stayed there all 10 years.
Like, yeah.
People still use it.
It's amazing because the girls that have kind of, they're all women, sorry, that have come through, some of them have worked for us for 7 years, you know, and just been reading fortunes. But yeah, I mean, that was kind of an ode to the West Village, you know, and back in the day and all the psychic and fortune tellers. And, you know, of course we opened as this, you know, new speakeasy, so we had to have some sort of front, and that just made sense for the area. But the fortune tellers that we have, some are palm readers, some are tarot readers, and they're all really great, and they work at other places. You know, we have a girl who works at Raoul's, and you know, other clubs are.
How do you interview them? Are you like, nice to meet you? What's the special for tonight?
What am I going to do next?
Right. Exactly.
Patrick, in your future, like, you aren't getting in.
Yeah, they're all legit. They're all legit, and they're all. There are people that.
So they're not like trying to be actors. Like,
no. Theater. And they're kind of they're almost like freelancers for us. They're not, you know, they're kind of running their own business up there, and they. Awesome. I mean, people specifically come to see them. Like, they're not coming to employees only. They could care less.
I have to use that. I'm here for the fortune teller. Exactly. Like, now I have to use the bathroom.
Yeah. Well, you come for the fortune teller, you stay for the flavor.
Exactly.
So no, it's very interesting, there's just a community of people who read fortunes. I mean, really, they read people, right?
Yeah,
they look at you and ask. I mean, how does it?
Yeah, I mean, I've only had my fortune read two times in 10 years being there. So I don't want to.
Was it on point?
Did they know you were coming?
Maybe. They went and asked my staff, what's our mood today? What do I need to know about? now I got my tarot cards read that were, I think the tarot card, is you can go either way, you know,
Are you saying you're not a believer?
It's not that I'm not a believer, but I think...
But you want to believe.
I'm going to get in trouble. This is really bad.
Yeah.
But I will say the palm reading was very interesting. I think I preferred... Sorry, tarot people. But the palm reading was really, you know, this lifeline and all the lines. And everybody's, you know...
So let's hear it. How long? How long are you going to live? Do you have a long lifeline?
I'm going to have a fruitful, long life.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so good.
It's already started. It's amazing. Yeah.
I was told I would have a meatful long life.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
On the nose. With
eat
that
anything
one.
I want.
Uh-huh. I have a bright future behind me. It's basically my career in a nutshell. Yeah.
That's Mike Edison, co-writer of The Carnivore's Manifesto.
Yeah, things were looking good right up until the moment.
So now, did you ever have an issue, Juliet? Like, because it is a bartender's place first. I mean, that's how people imagine. And then they're surprised to know that the food's fantastic.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, have you had to overcome that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's taken a little while. And I think 10 years ago when we started this, the cocktails got so much attention. So when people thought employees only, the first thing they thought about was the cocktails. And yeah, you know, but I think it's been like a slow and steady, you know, like, let's just keep doing our thing. And, you know, my vision with it all is with the cocktails, you know, they're using the best ingredients and, you know, we're squeezing juice every day. And a lot of that stuff is standard now, but back into, you know, 10 years ago, it wasn't.
Much less a 20-page cocktail list.
Right.
That
right.
was also unusual back then. Now you see it.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah. But yeah, and making their own cordials and purees and for me it was great because I got to be a part of that, you know, they were using my kitchen, so you know, ultimately it kind of landed on me. But so with the food, the philosophy was just, well, number one, just given my background and growing up in a butcher shop and my father's kind of meat background fantasy. So, you know, the first kind of thing was make food that people will can eat and not get wasted completely. You know what I mean?
So, lamb bacon.
What's a good way to say that?
Of substance, like a substantial meal.
Yeah,
like
you know, I mean, just
bacon wrapped lamb chops. That's enough. Yeah, that says that, it all right
there.
There.
Yeah. That's been on the menu forever. can't take that one off. 16 ounce pork chops, 28 ounce ribeyes,
steak tartare made steak at the tartare, table, yeah. Which is so much fun.
Yeah, really fun.
What cuts do you use for the steak tartare?
Filet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and hand chop, of course.
Of course.
We would never put that in the food processor, you know.
And you can make it spicy. They come out with, what, Worcestershire sauce and capers?
And it's a very classic recipe. We oven roast tomatoes and capers and sea salt and a little lemon, and we make our own hot sauce. So, you know. So the food for me was just substantial, you know, and somewhat refined in a way, but simple at the same time. And I think, you know, as we kept going and going with this, you know, we started to get a separate food following, which was fun, you know. And so I remember the first day someone called and my general manager answered the phone, because we're old school. We do reservations by hand, like pen and pencil. And
that's old school now.
Totally old school. And he got off the phone. He just started laughing. He's like, "You're never going to believe what this person just said." And I was like, "What?" And apparently this woman called. And she's like, "So, you know, I want to make a dinner reservation. Do you guys have a bar?"
Oh, good.
And I was like, "Yes."
Fuck you, bartenders.
But, yeah, so, I mean, year five that happened. But
God.
That's a long time to, I mean, I know a lot of restaurants, you know, their full dinner menu doesn't work out right away, doesn't catch on right away, and they pare it down, and you guys really kept with it.
Yeah, and I think for us, the late night, it took us a little while for late night, you know, and I think the late, because we do food until 4, and late night's a little weird because you have to ingrain it into people's head, so when you're wasted, the first thing you think of going to is not a bar, but you know what I mean? Like,
you know, maybe if you got like a stamp at the front door, we could just do, because I know the EO stamp on their forehead, totally. So when they wake up in the morning...
For people who get so drunk, they forget to drink.
Yeah, it's like, you know when you get thrown out of a bar and they put the bail bond stamp on your arm?
That's what they do.
Just in case you end up in jail.
Right. That's like where I was.
The EO stamp.
And a little, like, hamburger stamp next to
it. Yeah. Good food.
But yeah, so late night took a little while to catch on. But now it's, we get like a 2 a.m. rush, you know, which is...
And will you serve someone until 3:50? A two top comes in at 3:50.
Yeah.
Really, they can order.
Well, 3:45.
3:45.
Because, you know, we gotta make it and get it out there, and we don't want people eating at 4:30 in the morning. But
how often are you there now? I mean,
I'm there 6 days a week. I'm there every day. Whether I stay until, 3:30 a.m. That's a different story, but I'm still very much involved in running it.
That's awesome.
So I know
consistency,
that,
beautiful thing.
Yeah,
that's what keeps
the whole world secure.
It
keeps
does.
The entire fabric of a community together, that people stick with the same thing for many years. You know, you've been getting a Tuesday morning text from me.
I'm
sure it started as a call because we started pre-texting. Now it's a text. And, you know, as annoying as it is, it also means, like, everything works, you know?
Is Patrick as annoying as he says he is? He always says he's annoying, but he's...
Well, she's so consistent with her orders. 30 16-ounce porters and 25 pounds of ground pork. So, you know, we're a part of a big ship there, and that's awesome.
Well, sometimes I like to throw in the...
Bacon
random
slab.
Slab bacon, or don't forget Goat-tober. I get some
goats.
I mean.
And we throw in the occasional gift every Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Some free
what
pork item. Yeah.
What a guy.
Every 12 Hanukkahs.
We're a good Jewish pork company, you know.
Yeah.
Generous.
So were you going to ask Julia about Gwyneth Paltrow?
I was, you know. I was talking about it. Well, everyone's heard the Gwyneth Paltrow, like something about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's been everywhere.
Why are they picking on her?
It's always annoying. Well, I mean, if the argument is whether or not Gwyneth Paltrow is elitist or you know, elitist isn't the right...
Or just playing out of a fucking mind?
Yeah, elitist isn't the right word.
Story. That's been questioned before.
What's the story there?
So Gwyneth Paltrow posted on social media, she went to the grocery store with $29, which is, you know, I guess the average family allowance for a mother and child, and bought groceries that were supposed to last her for the week, and then took a picture of it to show the world, this is what $29 can get you at the grocery store.
I think she spent 27.
24.5. $24.
What did $27 so had, get me on the Goop website?
That's a whole other
so
thing.
So she had a few bucks left, but still.
You know, it was...
She's
South,
one of the
South
people.
California, you know, there was a lot of
the one product that people are getting a little crazy about are the limes, because right now there's... little bit of a lime shortage happening. Mm. So the prices of limes are skyrocketing, which has happened last year.
But how to make a margarita without the limes? These mothers and children need their margaritas.
No, but so what's the point? So a bunch of famous people lived off of the SNAP food program, right?
I don't know if they actually lived off
for
it.
But a week
the idea is that, you know, everyone, the attention all goes to Gwyneth Paltrow. That's fine. We're picking on her. We're shaming her for her bad decision in shopping. I mean, the woman is she has no budgetary restrictions. She is,
and she I don't think
she's completely
ever has
out of
had.
Touch. Yeah, and she yeah. never has had.
But like, there's nothing wrong with
her
that.
Being out of touch is not news. Why are we treating it as such? The news part is the fact that Mario Batali challenged her to this. It was it wasn't her getting on her high horse and coming out. Like the larger issue is. Is the SNAP program, food stamps for Americans. Like, shouldn't we be shaming this inadequate system and instead of the celebrities that are futilely trying to bring attention to something that needs attention? But and it wasn't her alone.
What was the result of her study? The 29 is not enough or the 29 can buy enough?
No, 29 is not enough.
Not enough. No, so she made that
point. It lasted her 4 days. And she did publish on Goop, if you have a lot of money and live on the Upper East Side and read that blog. She posted some recipes that she made with the, you know, affordable ingredients that she got. And she did her best. She did as well as any other celebrity did who's out of touch.
I would have thought that Mario Batali was doing it to show that 29 can be extended into a meals for a week.
No, I think they're doing it. They're doing it because $29 is not enough.
Right. I think it's just
for family to live on.
Creating the awareness that
29
this,
is not enough.
Don't you ever get the idea, though, that Gwyneth Paltrow's just trolling all of us? That stupid website and her idiotic beauty advice and her moronic, like, outer space lifestyle? Don't you think she's just
everyone on the internet
begging
is trolling
for us,
everyone?
Begging us to react this way?
No, I think I don't.
Maybe it's some like, it's, she's going to come out, and, like, it's going to end up being some great bit of performance art.
I think we're shaming her in a public forum because it's available, and I think we do this to... you know, celebrity and easy targets. And I think they're more than not women who end up being, you know, the target of at least this social criticism. Uh-huh. And it's at the end of the day, it's for New York's emergency food banks. It's to draw attention that we need food banks because this system is inadequate. We're just trying to show you the point was that this is not enough food to live off of. Right. We're not criticizing whether she could have, you know, sat down with a calculator and really figured out how much you actually need to sustain yourself. And we're also, this brings in the conversation, Patrick, from your book, you say this.
I'm sorry?
You're like, you've got my attention. You're talking about my book. We shouldn't be telling poor people to eat shitty food. And everyone's reaction is...
Well, I think that's the bottom line as well, that on $29, you're going to the grocery store. You're not buying great food. I mean, if that's going to last you a week, you're buying the cheapest rice.
Processed.
The cheapest beans. Right, exactly. Like, whatever's...
Hopefully, though, you're buying rice and beans and you're not filling it up with... processed food,
like,
and
Little Debbie snacks,
and like Jif peanut butter,
but you're
juice roll ups, you know, and this, like, you know, a lot of sugar and high fructose corn syrup,
Little Debbie
and,
snacks,
you know.
Will Ferrell was on Jimmy Fallon dressed as Little Debbie the whole two segments. He was totally Little
was
Debbie
hilarious.
With the bonnet.
And how did that make you feel, Patrick? Were you excited?
Well, I think it opened up new wardrobe possibilities for me, but I will say this, they're trashing Hillary Clinton like crazy, you know, and I do think women end up taking the brunt fun of it. I think Gwyneth Paltrow might be a loser and annoying, and I could care less about her. But to bash her and not Batali is
well,
unfair.
And everyone else. There's like a ton of other celebrities that have taken part in this challenge. It's supposed to be like an ALS ice bucket thing where you nominate someone.
$29. I took the challenge. It was called being 18 and poor.
Yeah.
The Jewish side of Mike likes
how many 40 ounces of Budweiser?
Mike, $29 went a lot further in 1927 than it does
this is true.
Today.
Right.
This is true. This is true. But again, how many 40 ounces of Budweiser were on her $29 ticket?
Not enough. Clearly. Obviously.
I think because it only lasted her 2 days. So.
Yeah.
So which celebrities are doing good stuff for food? Like total... I mean, who was the woman from Splash? She was a big vegetarian, Daryl Hannah.
Daryl Hannah. Yeah.
Who are the food celebrities? There are other goopers out there, right? There's that.
Goopers.
No, people who have lifestyle websites, Reese Witherspoon. And I mean, are any of them saying interesting stuff for the rest of us?
Nothing.
Jessica Alba.
What is an interesting thing? I mean, I think we should talk about what would be an interesting thing to have talked about. What would, if we could pick someone to endorse it and pick a topic, like what should be talked about in the public forum that's not? I mean, I think hunger is a great one because it's you know, largely ignored.
Well, I personally
and it's experienced by children and women.
I believe celebrities should talk about politics and any social issues that come to their mind, and they should use their authority and their access and their privilege as celebrities to talk to people. You always hear, you know, around Academy Award time, let's keep this not political, you know, actors shouldn't talk, I don't give a fuck what this rock star says, but as much as anybody else on TV, why the fuck not? Seriously, and if you could reach a lot of people, if you're, you know, Bruce Springsteen or Jessica Alba, why not? And the message, it's simple, it should be progressive and it should be one of kindness and compassion because the alternative sucks.
I also think the Republicans are, you know, embarrassed maybe to talk in public forums about their opinions. And so we've gotten to the point where you can't ask people about money. Like, how much do you make, Julia? You know, you can't mention money at all, even with in-laws and stuff. And you can't talk politics. Two things totally off limits. In Europe, everyone's talking about what party they're on. They're wearing their flags. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, like a soccer team. And I think it's weird that we're not allowed to talk. I think it's the Republicans to push it. Democrats are happy to talk.
It's also, was it the Oscars where Patricia Arquette won?
Yeah.
Remember that was news for like 2 weeks
that she wants equal pay for
women. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Sorry.
But then we have to. Yeah. But it became a conversation about everything
because
she left out or everything.
Right.
She
it was parsed so finely that somehow that was not good enough.
Right.
And I thought it was pretty great. I mean, I thought she just thought she laid it down, and that was kind of awesome.
I mean, she's a white woman, you know, that she's speaking from her perspective.
Right, and it's also...
Well, God forbid, what other perspective could she possibly have? I mean, just because, you know, I'm like a white middle-class Jewish guy doesn't mean that I can't feel compassion for the rest of the world around me. That would be kind of sad.
Well, what about Marlon Brando sent up an American Indian dressed as an Indian to accept his Oscar. Right. Then there's the Olympics with the guys that held up their hands. They couldn't get jobs for long periods of time, you know, after that because of that one statement. So it's funny. We react against it, but we remember it.
Yeah,
a people. Those are powerful moments. What else, Mike? Did, like, Hulk Hogan ever, like...
politics and the wrestling, right?
Yeah, and Roddy Piper, did he ever have any...
well, finally, at least there's an evil Russian back, which speaks well to the world, because I'd been bemoaning, like, you know... The evil, you know, unrepentant communists who used to be the bad guys in wrestling kind of went away with Ronald Reagan. It's kind of like an old trope.
Once
but now, there's a new Cold War, right? So there's a new bad guy who, like, makes his entrance on a Soviet tank. I think that's kind of badass.
That's kind of cool.
I mean,
everything
I know I would look very good on
making
entrance on a Soviet tank. You would look terrific on it.
Everyone would look hot in the tank, but totally. let's refrain from it for the good of everyone.
Julia, did you expect to come on to a food radio network and talk about Cold War and people being hot on tanks?
You know, something I've learned about being on the Heritage Radio Network.
Your favorite food radio station.
Ever.
Yeah.
I just never know what's going to happen. And that's what I love about it.
Julia came on early on. She was one of those early guests.
Well, she's a trendsetter.
Completely embarrassed myself.
I was like, well,
why?
Can you come on to the main course? It goes from 11 to 3. You're going to be on from 11:05.
It was like
11
on Sunday to like 3 on Tuesday.
I was the first one. It wasn't easy coming in on Sundays. Every Sunday for 4 years. So, Alexis, what are you doing? You see someone in the window?
Uh-huh. Just you know, checking out people, and watching the scenery.
You know, just going back on celebrities voicing their opinion about food. There's also one that just popped in my head when we were talking. Have you heard of the Dr. Oz controversy that's happening?
No.
Dr. Oz is...
But I love Dr. Oz controversies.
So, what hospital is he at? Presbyterian, I believe?
He's actually a doctor? I thought he was just like a doctor. Like Dr. Phil's a doctor.
Hospital? I think it's Pipitarian.
Or Dr. Scholes is a doctor.
He's actually a surgeon. And he...
Sturgeon.
Big sturgeon. His a bunch of his colleagues have gotten together and created this... they want to get him kicked out of the hospital. And what? The reason for this is because they're saying that he's bringing up on his TV show all these kind of new age, you know, he's a danger to the American public and whatnot. But when you start looking into the story a little further, the bottom line of it is that he's speaking out against GMOs, and some of his colleagues are saying there's no proof that GMOs can alter or are bad for us or blah, 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 blah.
I was just having this conversation with one of our farmers.
Yeah.
Actually, it is a controversial topic, but one of our farmers noticed that GMO grains and non-GMO grains have different effects in the health of the pigs that he was raising, and then ultimately is passed on in taste and nothing in a health effect for us. It just came down to
came down to
vitamin retention and some other technical stuff that the Roundup gene prevents, you know, the development of certain, the same way though that wild salmon and farm salmon are different because their diets affect the nutritional content of the fish.
Yeah.
You know, so this is an organic, non-organic issue, right? Should we be eating organic meat? Organic fed meat.
You know, and I don't know if it has to be organic or non-organic, because I think that's asking a lot. I think the incremental, you know, GMO or not GMO, or looking at a bigger issue of, it's not causing cancer, maybe, but is that enough right now?
Well, I think the problem is we don't know. It's too early, and the rules and regulations are not stringent enough. There's not enough control, because chances are the GMO food is probably okay on like a health and safety level. You know, most of it is. And on the other hand, the technology, you know, could feed the world too. I mean, it's not all this negative thing where I have to live in fear, you know, because someone says GMO. I mean, haven't we been, you know, creating new food like since forever and ever, every time we
but
crossbreed
not being,
something?
But not being nutritionally dense is a conversation worth having.
A hardier crop or something that can, you know, resist weather or insects. I mean, this doesn't seem like a new concept. I mean, the problem is all this Frankenfood and, you know, the people behind it who really don't have your best interests in heart
at the
end of the day.
Yeah, and the bottom line is a lot of people are just fighting for these things to be labeled. You know, so you...
Labeling would be important, but also if it labels it and say this is genetically modified, what does that really mean? I mean, does that mean it's bad for me? Do I need to run in terror just because it says...
But that's a choice you can make it
once you're informed.
Yeah,
Bill Gates supports GMOs. He puts billions of dollars to it. And Carlo Petrini remains adamantly against it. You know, so it's a hard thing. It's probably not bad, but I just don't like that a corporation owns a seed. Like, that just sounds wrong to me.
That sounds very, very wrong. It sounds contrary.
And that it has a self-destruct gene, perhaps, so that the farmer keeps having to buy that stuff. That just seems like one day millions of people could die developing cancer.
No, it sounds like Soylent Green. It sounds like, you know, all these dystopian futures where, like,
you ever
one,
see Soylent
one
Green?
Corporation controls the food
all
supply.
Right. Well, before
and,
we
you
get...
know, and that's, you know, that's when the people's revolution starts.
Before we delve into eating people, let's go to a quick commercial break. And then come back and talk some more about all this.
Listening to Rec Tech. This is The Main Course on heritageradionetwork.org.
following program was brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
Welcome back to the main course on Heritage Radio Network.
That was Gwyneth Paltrow's kids.
Sounds like child labor laws being abused.
And again, it's Gwyneth Paltrow's kids.
That was just a group of the interns.
Oh, brother.
We're getting younger and younger.
Yeah.
You know, you need to. Everyone has like their life planned out by 18 now, so start them young. Yeah. It's a whole brood. So, Patrick, hi. Welcome to the main course.
You.
Without Patrick Martins.
This thing that you started, Patrick.
I did start it, although I am not the turbines that run it. Liz runs it, Jack, Aaron, and Allison. They run it. And they are, by the way, going through a Kickstarter campaign right now for a new website, which is being designed by the very same team that does Mario Batali's website. And my favorite part of it is that it doesn't scroll up and down. It scrolls sideways. And you can just listen to all the history of the network in order, kind of chronologically. Yeah. Then it also has a bottom scrolling thing, which is more themed. So it has.
I love that
scrolls.
You're just involved, like you're just like amazed at the mechanism of the website. Like, guys, it scrolls.
Most websites scroll up.
No,
and down.
It does. This is an awesome. The design is like it's super interactive. Like you hover on things and information pops up, and it's
very intuitive. Space too. They've created a lot of empty space. It's like a Japanese bonsai garden, you know. It's so you see things better. Actually,
I want to go back and listen to some of those early shows of yours. Those 4-hour Sunday shows from when this started out.
I was like, for the one listener, I was a real big part of that person's Sunday.
I say,
my mom.
We need her. We need her slot, and then Julia's got nothing to do today, and then we can all just hang out here until Arts and Seizures, and just. Really take over the
Patrick
airwaves.
Would call me up in those days like, listen, you got to come on and talk about something. Come on. Talk about anything. Wrestling, the Academy Awards, what you had for dinner last night. Please, the show's He's 5 hours long. Please, what? Help me. I'm out here in the desert. Just come
What
talk.
You had for dinner last night will be from 1 to 3. So,
Julie, what was your first experience? Was it was on Patrick's show?
Was it? Was
I think you might have been
show?
On Sarah O'Brightus' show.
Yeah, I am.
What was
I,
the name of her show? It was a very good show. She
was,
had some cool people.
Oh,
hey Liz, can you do a search for Sarah O'Brightus and see if her name of her show comes up?
It was very smart. The name it was music and food intermingled in a clever way. Yeah, very clever that Sarah O'Brightus.
Have you been to her restaurants now in Queens?
I haven't been to the new steakhouse, which I've heard is excellent.
Yeah, no, really unusual.
Yeah,
amazing. Interesting things. We were talking about yak meat earlier. They got in trouble. They had horse on the menu. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a yours. Problem. I came and I played my tamburica for Sarah, which is a Croatian folk instrument that I practiced for one day before I came.
Oh, really?
And the problem with that was that I created a bunch of blisters on my fingers. So when I came for the show,
well, you really practiced.
I really did. I was a little nervous. It had been about 10 years.
It's a lifelong commitment.
It really is. I know.
So how did your Eastern Eastern European culture, did it really manifest itself in concrete ways in your family? I mean, or was it just like
sorry to interrupt. This just in. The show was Eat to the Beat.
Eat to the Beat.
Catchy.
Yeah.
Very smart. That Sarah. My father is, you know, fresh off the boat. So usually when you're in that circumstance growing up, I was put into every Croatian organization there was, you know,
in
Milwaukee.
Oh,
yeah,
Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee. So it was,
is there a big population?
There is. Yeah. Chicago and Milwaukee Chicago especially. But, you know, so it was playing tamburitza, dancing. I was the firstborn girl, so, you know, I think my dad was a little upset I wasn't a guy, so I got put into soccer right away. You're playing soccer, Croatian soccer.
Croatian soccer. Yeah.
Hey, that's a tough league. Don't laugh.
Did it? Yeah, it really is. They're pretty good. And, you know, just all sorts of weird things. So, yeah, it was a big, big, you know, I had Croatian friends and I had American friends.
Is Milwaukee a depressing city? Or I know it's obviously you have friends there, but a lot of cities you go back to and you're depressed. And she goes to Chicago. She's like, yikes. I like it, but it's depressing.
Yeah,
city.
I mean.
Now you live in New York, too.
Yeah, Milwaukee, you know, it's a great place on a great lake. It's very blue collar. It was very fun growing up because we would break into warehouses and, you know, parties, which was fun.
Wow. It's all beer and motorcycles there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty fun place.
What's that? Harley Davidson's based there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Of course. Miller Brewing Company.
Miller.
Well, Milwaukee famous.
Schlitz.
Yeah.
Laverne and right? Shirley. Oh, I mean, Laverne the Fonz, you know? Original.
Hey!
He's lifting his thumbs up, everybody.
Oh, you kids don't even know who the Fonz is.
Fonz was tough. He was the toughest 5'4" guy I've ever
heard. A Jewish guy pretending to be a hood.
How did they end up casting some like 38-year-old Jewish man to play a young greaser?
He wasn't that cool either.
No.
He just really wasn't that cool.
But who was he fooling? Cool. I think Mrs. Cunningham. Everyone.
Hey, Mrs. C. Yeah, whatever. Hey.
she was a hot little tomato back
cool?
in the day.
Who was cool? Mrs. Cunningham. Nobody. The girl was
Chachi was cool.
Chachi was
definitely the coolest.
He was cool.
Yeah. You got it. That was the only cool guy on that show. That's why that show wasn't Tom Bosley. Come on, please.
No. The thing that was never believable about the Fonz is you can't actually have a crush on the Fonz. You can have a crush on Chachi, but you cannot have a crush on the Fonz.
Yeah, you got to want to sleep with the sexy main character. That's why that show. And what's his name? Not a great actor.
Ron Howard?
Yeah, Ron Howard. No,
he was a good Opie.
Yeah,
and for his role,
the guy that ran the
Laverne and Shirley kind of
later
girl.
Went on to play Al the Cop on The Odd Couple.
By the way, talk about depressing.
Or Murray the Cop.
Watching those old sitcoms, and I used to watch Laverne and Shirley. Now, I mean, 2 minutes into it, you're like, my God. They're just simple shows back then. Yeah, simpler.
Yeah. I don't
it was
care
a simpler
simple.
Time.
You know, Welcome Back, Cotter. That was my favorite old sitcom.
I mean, it's unbearable.
But I can still watch that show. Unbearable. I can sit down and watch it.
Well, maybe because of the actors. Horse Shack, right? What were their names?
Washington.
Bob Arena.
Well, he became slightly famous.
And weird.
After that, super weird. Super freaking weird.
He's weird. Tom Cruise is weird. Yeah, and Hollywood seems to do that to people in a weird way. If you're
Scientology, you just mentioned two guys or you know the poster children for weird.
But perhaps they had a tinge of that, and Hollywood just drew it out.
Oh, that's true.
I think you need a tinge of that to succeed, to be so self-assured and to speak in such absolutes to get to that place where you have to believe in yourself. Way more than is probably reasonable.
Could you have done that, Julia? Could you have been an actor?
No.
No?
Absolutely not.
What's the character of a chef?
You can still be a Scientologist.
Can you still...
I could, except I watched that documentary and now I'm scared, so...
Can you stereotype at all
We can't even
chefs?
Mention it on the radio. They're going to come get us here at HRN now.
Can you stereotype chefs at all? Like people who are in kitchens and who work long hours? And is there a certain personality trait or two that...
I think because I'm in it, it's a little hard to. But that being said, being in it, I can see the different types. Is it?
So there are a limited number of types. I mean, there's not like anybody in the world can be a chef. It takes a certain person.
Yeah, and oddly, there's some professions that if you're really good in that, you would probably be a good chef. You know,
microchemist or was a biology major,
but not just do. I mean, I think there's like a certain work ethic and you know, little things that have nothing to do with food. That
coal mining,
attention to detail.
Yeah,
attention
coal mining
to detail.
Is that,
coal
that's
mining.
What,
to be makes very careful.
Lots of careful chef.
You could get stuck in the walk-in for 3 weeks. You know,
yeah, exactly.
I have to get rescued.
You're like, that canary froze.
Yeah. You know, I've had to recategorize chefs in my mind in New York City into like this new category of chill chef, which I'd never really met before.
Yeah, totally.
But I would say you seem, I don't know you in the kitchen, but like your presence at the restaurant is, well, of course you have to beat them. That's the Croatian upbringing helping. But I mean, Nick Ander from Maialino and Marta.
Is chill chef?
Yeah.
What does I'd that say. Mean?
That just means like there's this calm, like I've got everything under control, but I don't have to freak out.
Right,
to,
right.
Do you
do
freak
that
out?
Or snap? It's not. It's less of a wee chef.
Yeah. Ever kind of since like I stopped drinking coffee, no.
Oh, really?
I work. No. I don't know. That's not. It's just not who I am. I think if you create a place that's not super high strung and not crazy and not a pirate ship, that you know, it all kind of works in a way.
What are your what are your short suits when it comes to being a chef, you think, or managing people?
You know, I think it's hard sometimes just learning personalities and learning how to best extract what you need from certain personalities. I think that's always hard. I think that's one of the hardest parts of the job. You know, I don't have any children, Patrick, so perhaps you could help me out in this, but sometimes I equate it to parenting a lot. You know, it's like I need... You know, how do I work with this person the best to, you know, to get what I need out of them? And I think kids can be like that sometimes.
Yes, it's hard because you want to get them to get the best out of them, but then you also want to let them be free to do their own thing.
Yeah.
I mean, Alexis is an interesting person. She's very creative, but also has to do some crappy stuff, you know, to make the whole system
Alexis.
Work.
Alexis.
Everyone has to do...
Box meat and put
yeah,
ice
like,
packs
like
in
the,
it.
Yeah, like the...
I also think, you know, some of my guys have worked for me for I have a guy who's worked for me for 10 years. He's been there since the beginning, and
that's so
you
awesome.
Become part of their lives. And, you know, so when something bad happens, or you get to know, you know, I hate to hear about their girlfriends or, you know, it's kind of this, you just become part
like
of their
family.
Lives. Yeah, like family.
It
exactly.
is so fantastic that Employees Only has been there. The five owners are still the five owners. Mm-hmm. Julia is still the energy there and that graceful presence for the back section. Food is so good. And it really, it's like what makes New York, New York. You know, I can say that during my lifetime of going out, there was always that place and that whole block, even that whole minor neighborhood feels safe. Yeah. I feel the same with the Spotted Pig, you know, just knowing that you can go there and that they'll be like, sure, we'll get you a table. I mean, it is the fabric of life.
Well, I think that's especially the fabric of New York City and how it's always been, of just having these dependable, consistent places that you want to go to, that are great, that remain great, and like that have, you know, that have maintained that feeling, which is difficult over 10 years to have maintained this kind of, you know, just kind of cool
chill.
Atmosphere, yeah, this chill yeah. atmosphere.
We have one of our owners, Dushan Zarek, who's he's now, him and Jay Cosmos, they started the 86 company, so they're doing a spirits brand, tequila, gin, vodka, and rum. And Dushan, with the bartenders, you know, he always referred to it as the ethos, you know, and that was... At the time, you know, it was like an ethos, interesting, you know, but it's really become that. And everyone that works there, we are a family and, you know, we all, there's a certain ethos we all follow working there, you know, so.
That's why guys like me would take the 6 train down to Houston Street, walk across, I mean, all the town, just to go have 2 drinks there. And then go back, you know. I'll say another place I used to do that, and I hate saying it because they stole a lot of money from us, but I did go to the Chicken Bone Cafe,
yeah.
Zach Palacios.
Yeah.
I mean,
I went there,
just
yeah.
would get in a cab just to go have a sandwich, and then you'd come right back and almost eat it in the cab. You know, it was that different.
Yeah.
Yeah, super special. And now what about a cookbook? Is it time? With cocktail pairings?
Yeah, you know, we've talked about it. We have a cocktail book out currently called Speakeasy. But yeah, the food, you know, the interesting thing is with the menu, there's probably half of it that have become kind of these classics that I try to change, but I get so much crap from people.
Because like, they love it so much.
Are you
much?
Really going to take the bone marrow poppers off? I can't do that, you know? and so, yeah, so half of it's kind of, at this point, it's kind of in that classic category. We had the same for drinks. There's drinks that have been on the menu kind of since we opened. And Yeah, so I think, yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
You can talk to Patrick and Mike about that. They'll give you, interview them after the show.
Yeah. Mike is really good at impersonating a chill chef.
Yeah, man.
See, he wrote Restaurant Man, Joe Bastianich's book. Jeff is neither chill nor a chef. But well, it's very, very cool. So what about, and now, is it true that you are going to Mongolia?
It is. We're going to do a little, there's a few employees only, employees and other friends coming along. I think there's about 8 to 10 of us. We're all going to start, we're doing horseback for 2 weeks.
Wow.
We're going to start our horseback riding lessons soon. So we all.
And you thought your fingers were, were sore after one day.
Exactly. But yeah, we're going to do 2 weeks in Western Mongolia under Genghis Khan's great blue sky. And
where do you fly into for that?
Ulaanbaatar, the capital.
Is that a direct flight from LaGuardia?
Absolutely not. we're actually going to, we're deciding where we want to lay over. There's, the choices are Beijing, Seoul, or Moscow.
So you go in either, both are going west. You would fly west.
Yeah.
Over so, LA and then all the way across. Wow, that is
awesome. Well, do one on the way there and one on the way back.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. But
it's a schlep.
It's a schlep for sure. But I think, you know, it's a nomadic people who's, you know, as this world gets smaller, their ways are changing. And I think it's a good time to see. Really, I'm going for the fermented yak's milk. I mean, who am I kidding?
Some very great professional wrestlers came out of Mongolia, namely the Mongols.
Yeah. Seriously,
the Mongols. They were a championship tag team. Mm. Oh, yeah.
Were they actually
tough
from
customers.
Mongolia?
Or of course
is this
they
just
were.
Like a, oh, I'm sorry. I'm just, I know in wrestling, some things are embellished a little bit.
What are you talking about?
I'm sorry. I misunderstood that part.
The bone marrow. Can I make a quick pitch for my show this afternoon at 2 o'clock on Arts and Seizures? We do have the world champion from Fighting Spirit Wrestling. It was an independent promotion, the best independent wrestling promotion in the world. And it's right here in Brooklyn, County of Kings. And I've been doing color commentary for them. And I'm really happy we're going to have the world champion on the show today at 2 o'clock. And Patrick, too. So
I'm
going
to
be
me
and
too.
Wrestling.
I'll
so
see if he's
so Liz in the booth,
champion.
I hope you're ready for all that XY energy that's going to be coming at you at 2 o'clock.
I'm going to try my move on him.
I think I just saw her cheer in the booth.
Yeah.
Mike, remember my famous wrestling move? Do you remember it?
The Petty Four?
Oh, we're seeing it. Oh, duh. You only had better commentary for what just happened. Definitely stick around. Arts and Seizures, we're all going to be back. We'll probably be a little drunker by then. Maybe we'll get Julie to hang out with us, too.
And don't be a fool. Go to employees only. Reserve an 8-top, a 10-top order well in advance because, it is full. It's a tiny
place.
Or
a 2-top.
Smaller parties, too.
No, but you don't only have to go with two people. I mean, you can go. It is so romantic. You can go 2 or 10. That's one of the best party places. You feel like you're in 1920
when I'm feeling romantic, I think let's go out with a group of 8 other people.
Absolutely.
And everyone
keep it intimate.
But make a reservation, otherwise that scary bouncer, he might not let you in.
He won't let you in. Yeah.
He's not that scary.
And the fortune teller.
He's very nice. A little intimidating.
A little.
And stop by the fortune teller.
She's like, Mike, I predict you will not get let past the fortune
the bouncer
teller.
Does he have one of those like walkie-talkie headset things?
No.
Okay,
we had to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah, that's good. Like the Britney Spears mic, I call that. It's like,
Julia, be safe.
This skanky
Thanks.
Lady Gaga
yeah,
mic.
Yeah.
Be home. Safe in Mongolia. Those guys,
I'll bring you
they
some,
can act like
treats.
Real Mongols.
Listen, you can bring back
they
some really professional wrestlers and manage them to a championship.
Can you can FedEx us fermented yak's milk.
Yeah.
We'll give you our account number.
Absolutely.
Just pop it in the nearest FedEx office.
They got some crazy kind of fire water out there, too.
We spent $7,800 on a FedEx package.
Worth
crazy
it.
Mongolian moonshine.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? You were staying with some shamanic tribes, so who knows what's in store for
Did
us.
Did you have a travel agent for this, or you just... Is
we,
it that
the fortune teller got this for.
Well, one of our owners, Igor, who's man of the world, I'll call him, he knows a Scottish man in Mongolia who's lived there for some years. So the Scot is hooking us up in Mongolia.
That is amazing.
What could possibly
go
wrong?
What could possibly,
Well, we're going to have you back on after your trip just so you can tell us all about it.
We'll put pictures up, live pictures during the show so people can watch and listen. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Wow, like, wait, what's that thing called? Oh, yeah, television.
Yeah, television. Yeah. The revolution will not be televised.
It will be live tweeted. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Stick around for Arts and Seizures. Thank you, Julia. Stop by Employees Only if you have a chance. It's worth it. And everyone have a happy Sunday.
The theme song for the main chorus is I Never Had by Breedlove and Chufu.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.